Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Midnight Black Mass, a production brought to you by GeorgeWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you discussions and interviews with figures in the world of wrestling, entertainment, and general pop culture. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Midnight Black Mass.
I'm a low down, wound up, roadbound man. Go ahead and chase
me, suck it, catch me if you can. Hope you like the taste of dirt that ring on my right hand. Before you even get to me, you gotta get through my whole band. I ain't no Romeo, I know, but I always get my fill. I'm just looking for another town, another crowd to thrill. I've kicked a few bad habits, and I've seen a few men die. All my friends are family, my family is my life. I've worked a few long hours, yeah, I've packed my share of steel. As far as selling out goes, I ain't even looking for a deal. Well, just so you know, I'm grateful for everything I've done. Everyone I met, and every song I've sung. I'm a low-down, wound-up, road-bound man. Go ahead and chase me, suck it, catch me if you can. Hope you like the taste of dirt that ring on my right hand. Before you even get to me, you gotta get through my whole band. I'm a low-down, wound-up, road-bound man. Go ahead and chase me, suck it, catch me if you can. Hope you like the taste of dirt that ring on my right hand.
And fill him full of knowledge and experience like that guy. So I sort of had to knock him on his ass and embarrass him because I'm a little old manager and he's the NWA North American champion. But, you know, enough's enough. And the wave of resurgence, the rejects are riding there in NWA Anarchy. Something real special, something I never thought I'd see in my tenure here in sport. NWA Chattanooga returns to Soddy Daisy Middle School Friday, March the 16th. NWA Hall of Famer, Scenic City Hall of Famer, NWA multiple-time World Tag Team Champion, and all-around legend rock and roll Ricky Morton will go toe-to-toe with the man I was just talking about, the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion, Shawn Timpers. That's going to be one hell of a main event. Also, the Deadly Sin 7 with myself is returning to wreak havoc. He's got a prime opponent filling in for Tank, who had to cancel off of the show due to family commitments. The Deadly Sin 7 is going to be taking on Kyle Matthews, the current Rampage Heavyweight Champion, current Pro South Heavyweight Champion. The Deadly Sin respects you, Kyle Matthews. He respects your abilities. But you've got to understand, you are a mere mortal. The Deadly Sin is a force of nature. And when he blows through you like the hurricanes blow through the coast or like tornadoes blow through the Tennessee Valley last night, then don't say I told you so, Kyle. That's all I'm getting at. Don't say I told you so. NWA Chattanooga, March 16th, Soddy Daisy Middle School. Go on over to NWAChattanooga.com. Got the Muji Movie Minute coming up later with a special Muji Movie Minute Hall of Fame induction. We don't often do the classics here, but sometimes when we get discouraged from watching several new movies in a row that don't really give us anything, then we got to get with the classics. So I'll let Muji tell you more about it coming up later here in the Muji Movie Minute. Right now, though, to the music news. Really, all I wanted to talk about the music news this week, we've talked in detail last couple of weeks about the concerts coming up this summer and the various activities that the Rev will be involved in music-wise over the summer and the albums and things that were coming out. Last night, I just want to talk about Hank III. I went to see Hank Williams III, probably the fourth, fifth time in my life, but first time in a while. It's been a couple of years since I've gotten to get out there, and man, former guest of the show, friend of the show, amazing fucking performer. This is a guy, he played for 4 fucking hours. He did not take a break. He took maybe a 5-minute break in between the country set and the attention deficit domination to take a piss and probably smoke a cigarette. And, you know, gave me time to do the same. So we came back and he just balls out, pure energy, the country. Talking about the country music, you talk about all these fucking pussies out here on pop country radio, these guys with their pants on tight looking like a bunch of metrosexual fucks and these stupid whores with a bunch of plastic parts, all pantomiming, as Unknown Henson said there on the show, pantomiming the lyrics and you know, using machine and equipment to reproduce them. Hank Williams III reproduced his set note for fucking note. I am telling you this. He did not rely on any equipment, any outside help, any computers. This was raw. This was from the soul. This was talent. And it's just like it gets better every time I see the guy live. Just such an energy. Really gets your money's worth. In a sold-out Rhythm and Blues, Chattanooga, Tennessee, last night, the energy was electric. Had a lot of my wrestling family there. We enjoyed that together. It's my wife's birthday weekend, so, man, we partied like motherfuckers, if you know what I mean. And, of course, got to go talk to Hank after the show and thank him for appearing as our guest a few months back. And he remembered the show and greatly appreciated it. Just said to tell all of the listeners hello, and he hopes to get back with you very soon. So hopefully we'll get Hank back on the show again. Always a pleasure to talk to the guy. Always a pleasure to watch him perform. You're talking about somebody who will always fly the flag of music like that. But gonna go to some more tunes now. I just wanted to talk about what a great time it was. You got to get out and see Hank III live. Go to his website for more tour dates at www.hank3.com. the more tunes. Speaking of Hank Green, he appeared on this album, not the track that we're playing here, but he had a hand in the recording of the album, and he told us a story about that when he was on the show. It actually is the combination of Pantera and David Allan Coe. Pantera, Sans Phil Anselmo's, it was Dimebag, Rex, and Vinnie Paul, and David Allan Coe with a country metal hybrid. This song is off the album Rebel Meets Rebel. It's called Cowboys Do More Dope. And we're back, folks. And it's time for another edition of the Muji Movie Minute. A very special edition as we induct our first member into the Muji Movie Minute Horror Hall of Fame. Muji, the Rev's best friend since birth, has been scouring the compound for the best and the worst of horror cinema, and he presents it every week here to you on the Muji Movie Minute. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, how you doing today, Rev?
Hey, I'm up at noon, so it's already a productive day.
Yeah, right.
So, what do you have for us, this Hall of Fame induction? I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, since we've been on such a streak of duds with just a few good movies mixed in, this week went back to watch one that we know is a good one just so we could have some good horror for the week. And actually going with the first induction to the Hall of Fame here, we're going with The Exorcist, which, of course, everybody knows, everybody loves. From 1973. I don't think I have to talk too much about the story. I think everybody knows it, but it's definitely one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Definitely one of the best. Let's see how anybody wouldn't rank it within their top, you know, 10 or so horror movies ever. A great movie. A couple crazy things connected to the X I'll talk about real quick. It's just a great movie, and it really, like, changed movies for a lot of people at the time. I mean, you know, it's, The Exorcist is one of those movies, which just doesn't really happen, I guess, all that much anymore, I guess, just with movies being out there. But, you know, it was a movie that had people fleeing from the theaters, people getting sick, had all sorts of religious protests. So the movie, when it came out, it was reviewed really well by everyone, which is weird for a horror movie, but it was... also just created, you know, all sorts of hysteria just within, like I said, people actually in the theater going crazy watching it. And then also there were religious protests. Billy Graham actually said that he thought there was a demon in the reel for the movie. So that's some really crazy Christian stuff there for you, where he thought a demon was in the actual film.
Wow.
And a bunch of people called young Linda Blair, and she had a lot of death threats and stuff from people, even though she was a child, when the movie came out, for playing the
love
character.
Love thy neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say.
Definitely.
Continue.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, it's one of those movies that, you know, no matter how religious you are or what kind of religion that you practice, I think that, you know, evil or Satan or just evil without Satan is pretty scary to everybody, and especially in the 70s. I mean, when the movie came out, like, that was, you know, quite a bit different time where I think still in America, Christians, the majority religion, but especially was then. So to think that some, you know, a child could be possessed by the devil was really, really crazy. And the movie's just good. It's a scary movie, but it's also, you know, just a great movie. It's a movie where the main character, Father Marin, played by Max Mantido, who just won an Oscar a couple weeks ago, which is crazy that he's still alive. I found out they used makeup to make him look older in there, which he still is old. He's 83, but he was just 44 when that movie was made. You know, the movie is really, like, it's equally about the kid Reagan getting possessed, like the actual story. It's more about Father Marin struggling with his faith and having to, you know, really, like, you know, he's kind of strayed from, like, the church and exactly the way things are, things that he'd been teaching and stuff. And so that's the real story in the movie. It's him trying to come to terms with, you know, actually believing what he's been preaching and stuff, and, you know, and going, you know, kind of crazy and going through his own emotional roller coaster to try to help out the kid. And that's really the main, you know, the main part of the movie, even though it's scary, that's the main storyline.
Yes, and of course you see escalates to epic proportions as Father Marin struggles with his faith throughout that movie. Just my favorite. It's hard to actually pinpoint a favorite thing about The Exorcist, but to me, it's just all about the atmosphere, the way they set the tone with the music, with the shots. Just they create this otherworldly experience, and few movies prior to or since have equaled it, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the music, you were just playing the soundtrack. You know, it's somewhere. You know, in the top probably five of horror soundtracks or horror themes that are scary. It definitely sets the atmosphere. I mean, even though they're in Washington, D.C., and it's like in their family and stuff, you know, the mom is, you know, in the movie is a famous actress, and, you know, she's got all these friends over and stuff like that, even though there's, like, always, you know, a lot of people around, you still feel like they're alone, you know, like they're still unprotected from the evil that's in the house, and you're just kind of waiting, you know, on something bad to happen the whole time. And it is just set up by the atmosphere, you know, they make it creepy, even though the first part of the movie, you know, kind of isn't, it goes there, and like I said, you know, they show footage of them, they'll cut to, like, you know, her being out on the porch, and it's like, oh, they're just in town. But then once they go back inside, you know, it's scary, which is another thing that makes you think that, you know, if something like this was possible, being possessed is possible, it could happen to anybody. And that's one of the atmosphere. And then that's another one of the great signs of pretty much all really, really good horror movies, no matter how out there the plots are and stuff, is that they put you in a world where you feel like, you know, it could be happening, you know, where you live at. And they definitely do that in this movie.
I would agree with that, Mooj. And sorry, I was having the mute button difficulties there.
All right, it happens.
Yeah, you even, as far as this Hall of Fame thing, you even want to go with a rating or these movies, you know, beyond? I figure almost like if we select a movie to be considered one of these elite, is it beyond a rating or did you want to give it one?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have to. It's, you know, anything that we do like this is, you know, if anyone wonders about the ratings, you'd assume it's got to be, like, you know, somewhere in the 90s, but, you know, it's hard to rank, you know, these movies, like, that we've considered the whole thing against each other because, you know, it's just really, you know, going preference when you try to figure out which one's the best, you know. There's really no need for a rating. I mean, The Exorcist is great. The one thing I would say is that I would be interested for someone who's never seen it, or maybe somebody younger who's used to seeing different movies, like how it would hold up completely. I know I went and watched the pretty recently I watched it, and I've seen it, you know, since I was a kid, so it's still scary to me, you know, no matter what. It's just one of those things that, you know, movies are one of those things that, you know, like anything, like if you watch Star Wars, you realize special effects are silly compared to what they can do now, but, you know, when you first saw it, they weren't, so, you know, you still kind of view movies in the way that you did the first time you saw them. I'll be interested to see if somebody actually thinks it is just as scary as I did the first time I saw it, because the special effects and stuff are, when I watch it, you know, they're pretty noticeably, you know, not up to par compared to, like, what can be done now. And, you know, I would be interested to know if it, like, holds to, like, a new generation of audiences. But yeah, like I said, we don't need to rate it, because in my book, you know, especially when it was made, you couldn't really do better than it.
Yeah, I think that is a perfect assessment and a perfect way to set that up. And speaking of The Exorcist and Linda Blair, of course, the young lady that starred in that as Reagan, she will be appearing at the Mad Monster Party, which we've been plugging multiple times over the last few weeks. That's going to be March 23rd through 25th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go to themadmonsterparty.com for details. We already had Kevin Helms, who was Pinhead for a small portion of Hellraiser 3. had an incredible interview with him about that experience and subject. Hope to have a couple more guests from the Mad Monster Party on the show before the event goes live. But listen to this guest list. We're talking about Rowdy Roddy fucking Piper, Ace Frehley, Rutger Hauer, Angus Scrimm, Brad Dourif, Bill Moseley, David Prowse, Tracy Lords, D. Wallace, P.J. Souls, Tony Todd, Derek Mears, Marky Ramone, Linda Blair, Ron McGovney, former bass player for Metallica. Like, just ridiculous amount of fucking horror legends in Charlotte, North Carolina, March 23rd through 25th. And our own Hall of Famer, Exorcist Linda Blair, will be there. So you want to make sure you, if you're in the Charlotte area or even within driving distance and you're horror nuts like we are, you need to get your ass down there.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a pretty good list.
Pretty strong lineup, I'd say. But yeah, but any other thoughts on The Exorcist? As we're going to try to make this a pretty regular thing, you know. I think when we get a little burnout on the new offerings, I think it's time to go for another Hall of Famer, because there's probably a list of at least like 20 fucking movies that'll probably make this list at some point. And, you know, it'll be great to go on and fucking yammer about them for weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's about all I have on The Exorcist. I was just checking out some facts. I almost am tempted to go to that horror festival just to ask Linda Blair, watch you dated Rick James. but we can definitely make this a regular thing, you know. Especially like this time of year, there's not a lot of new horror movies coming out, so we'll have to be pulling from some old ones. And with our luck, you know, sometimes it's pretty good to sometimes just throw in a classic that we know is good.
Yeah, and I also think it, unrelated from horror, you know, we've got so many big summer action movies, especially the comic book variety, so I think we'll have to do some special editions on like Avengers and Amazing Spider-Man and fucking Batman, you know, like the big guns.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can talk about those for sure.
So, you know, lots of cool stuff coming up on the Muji Movie Minute. We're going to try to find you a movie next week that is a newer variety, or at least maybe one that's new to us, but we're looking for quality again next week, and that's really all I got to say about that, Muji. What about you, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Netflix has been crapping out on having of new stuff that could be dependable, and they're really not releasing very much on DVD that looks very good. But, you know, we will dig to hope to have something that's an actual good, newer movie for next week.
Out fucking standing. All right, Muji. Well, it's been another pleasure as always. Take care of yourself out on the road, and you watch that damn Weasley bastard, Sean Tempers, because you know, I know you're trying to mediate this thing, and you're still friends with me, and you're still friends with Sean, but you know that son of a bitch is going to stiff you on the gas tab. You know he is. You know it. So don't even. So
I'll be looking for it.
Protect yourself. Okay. Just protection. All right, Muji, have a good one.
See ya.
And fans, that was the Muji Movie Minute here on the Midnight Black Mass. Gotta go pay a few bills with the commercial break. We'll be back with some more tunes and TV Casualty right after this.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling, and you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Two, three, four.
Everybody knows that I'm a skunk man. They won't come and see me in this dive. Everyone's afraid of what might happen to them, or if they leave and get out of there alive. Some bucket in the corner getting to me, talking about the way I look at them. Well, I guess he don't know that I'm the outlaw scumbag. Someone ought to warn him, or I'd knock him straight to hell. Because everybody knows that I'm a scumbag. I like sluts and whores, and I don't care. You can say just what you wanna say about me, but if I hear you, I might just go knock you off your chair. Cause I like to drink whiskey by the gallon. I live on peanut butter sandwiches, I don't care. I spent some nights in jail in this old country. Everybody hates me and I just don't fucking care. Cause I can sing all them songs about bitches. And I still fuck all the prostitutes that I know. They tell me I smell like raw sewage, but I'm the man that you'll never know. Because everybody knows that I'm a scumbag. They won't come and see me in this dive. Everyone's afraid of what might happen to them, or if they leave and get out of there alive. Some bucket in the corner is getting to me, talking about the way I look and smell. Well, I guess he don't know it, but I'm the outlaw scumbag. Someone ought to warn him, for I knock him straight to hell. Because everybody knows that I'm a scumbag. I like sluts and whores and I don't care. You can say just what you wanna say about me, but if I hear you, I might just go knock you off your chair. And I can sing all them songs about bitches. And I still fuck all those prostitutes that I know. They tell me I smell like raw sewage, but I'm just a man that you'll never know. Because everybody knows that I'm a scumbag. They never come and see me in my time. You can say just what you wanna say about me. I'll turn my back on you and I'll stick you from behind. Cause everybody knows that I'm a strong man.
And we're back with more Midnight Black Mass for you. That was the late, great, legendary G.G. Allin and his Carolina Shit Kickers, featuring one of the show's great allies, Mr. Suave Rabe, Robert Everett, on bass guitar, off of the album Laying Up with Linda. That song was called Outlaw Scumfuck, which was G.G.'s own personal slant cover on the David Allin Coe classic, Long-Haired Redneck. He just G.G.'d it up a bit. Very much enjoy that rendition of that tune. Go out to iTunes. I'm pretty sure you can still get that album digitally. So get out there and get yourself a copy of it. Or buy it. It's actually out on vinyl. Hit up Robert Everett for more details. Coming on to moving forward, we've got a few special guests lined up in the next couple weeks. Not going to elaborate, but I know we've one of my great mentors in the wrestling business we've lined up for a special interview, and we're not going to talk a goddamn thing about wrestling, so that's going to be very fun, and much more. I've got some really unique folks coming on in the next few weeks. Some you may have heard, some you may not have. Some weeks, of course, we don't have a guest. We just like to sit here and blab. And I thank you kindly for listening to me. As the gospel is preached, the new American gospel on all things on the Fringe. And with that being stated, we move forward to another segment on the show I like to call TV Casualty. This is our expanded look at the DC Animated Universe, starting with Batman, the Animated Series. Last week's episode was the classic Be a Clown, featuring the return of the Joker. This week, we see the debut of another of Gotham City's most notorious rogues. Formerly a good man who fought for the law, but he found out it being a good man didn't get him a bucket full of shit. His name was Harvey Dent. And the episode starts with Harvey Dent running in the middle of nowhere, hearing someone close calling his name. He stops running, his face, a silhouette of himself, flipping a coin, telling him he cannot escape. Then is woken up by his campaign manager, telling him that the recent sting is in motion. Then arrives at the location, a warehouse full of arms, only to find that the police are being shot at with no way of firing back. The thugs prepare to fire a powerful weapon at the police. Luckily, Batman arrives on the scene and scares the thugs out of the building. It is revealed that Dent created a sting to take down one of Rupert Thorne's top warehouses and find a way to get the men to testify against their boss's motion for his re-election as Gotham's DA, or district attorney. When one of the thugs kicks mud on the Dent suit, you don't kick mud on Harvey's suit, he taunts him, and, of course, Harvey Dent snaps, and we see Big Bad Harv, his alter ego, appear. Rushing over to him, Dent grabs the thug, wrestles him to the ground before Commissioner Gordon snaps him out of it. Dent brushes it off, says the thug just pushed a button. Commissioner's obviously still concerned. Rupert Thorne sees the stint on the news and tells his Lady Candace to go find some dirt on the district attorney. During an electoral fundraiser held by his best friend Bruce Wayne, Harvey Dent learns that the judge acquitted Thorne's men due to bribes paid by their boss, claiming the warrant wasn't filed out properly. Dent loses it again, throwing the campaign manager to the refreshment stand and nearly hitting Bruce when Grace, Harvey's fiance, calms him down. Bruce pushes Dent to tell him what's going on when Grace finally tells him that he's seeing a therapist about his episodes. Unfortunately, Candace, the Rupert Thorne lady, overhears the conversation as well. During his latest session, it is discovered that Dent's other side, Big Bad Harv, as I've mentioned earlier, is growing stronger due to the stress in his life. At first, Harvey refuses to get further help, stating that it would ruin his chances of getting reelected, but he agrees to cut down on campaigning and make more appointments. Of course, this Candace bitch is still listening outside, so you gotta watch her. She's a snake. On the night of the election, Bruce congratulates Harvey's most likely reelection and his ability to maintain his control. Yet adds that he may announce a wedding date to Grace, which makes her happy, but is interrupted with a phone call. Rupert requests that Harvey see him about a situation which could ruin his career, alone saying there's a limo outside. Bruce senses something and follows suit as Batman, losing the car, but not before placing a tracking device on the rear bumper, makes his exit. Rupert Thorne reads to everyone a page from Harvey Dent's past. Apparently, he beat up a bully in self-defense and felt guilty when he went to the hospital for appendicitis. Harvey vowed never to show his anger again, and Big Bad Harv was born. He threatened to reveal it to the world if he did not ease up on the Thorne Syndicate. Unfortunately for Thorne, Dent reverted into Big Bad Harv and attacked the Bob Mob boss. Batman arrives to help fend off Thorne's guards while Dent goes after the folder with his history in it. One of Thorne's thugs fires at Dent, but Batman knocks him down, causing him to misfire. One of the cables is knocked loose and lands in the chemicals below, causing them to explode and disfigure the left side of Harvey Dent's body. He's hospitalized, scheduled for surgery, and worst of all, lost his title as the district attorney of Gotham City. Harvey Dent sees his newly disfigured face in the mirror and runs out of the room and into Grace, his fiancée, who dropped by for a visit. Upon seeing his face, Grace faints from shock. The good man, Harvey Dent, bids Grace farewell and escapes the hospital. So there you have it, the birth of a legendary Batman figure in Two-Face. You see where he is a good man, but he's just conflicted with split personality disorder. And the disfigurement he sustains here pushes him over the edge. We will be back next week with the second part of that, the rise of Two-Face. Just an all-time classic villain, Harvey Dent, the classic duality in man. Everything's the chance with him, you know. Everything's a flip of the coin. Harvey Dent, he could be still the twinkle of a good man that's left in there, or he could be Two-Face and he could blow your fucking brains out. Thought that the portrayal of Aaron Eckhart in the Dark Knight movie was a fantastic, probably one of the greatest portrayals of Two-Face ever, outside of this portrayal in Batman. Was the legendary character actor Richard Mole was Harvey Dent / Two-Face / Big Bad Harv. Another great episode of Batman. Join us next week for another edition of TV Casualty. And fans, it's time to move on to the comic book news portion of the show. And we'll wrap up after this. I've got things to do, gotta get prepared, gotta get my troops rallied for the big war game back tonight. But before then, I will bring you comic book news. Medium, the world of the comic book, and we're big fans of superhero comics here, so it should be no surprise that, as I briefly mentioned earlier on the Muji Movie Minute, we are damned excited about the Avengers hitting theater the first week in May. of 2012, the unprecedented movie of its kind. They've done team-up movies, but never something with such a vastly expanded universe as this. The trailer is incredible-looking. I think right now is just where they've gotten to make a great CGI Incredible Hulk. It finally looks like it could be a real person, and I don't think even it was good in the Ed Norton Hulk. I just don't think the technology was there. You've seen CGI just fucking improved by leaps and bounds over the last few years, so really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to seeing the Hulk on the big screen. Looking for, and just in terms of the whole scope of the team, Thor, Captain America. A lot of hate for the Captain America costume. They say it's too cartoony. I don't see what's a whole lot different from the World War II outfit, other than it's a little sleeker. You know, it looks like something more like a sports uniform of some kind, but, you know, it's a nice translation to a real-life superhero. You got to do the best you can to make that shit look credible. So, you know, I think that there will be nothing to worry about with the Avengers. The second trailer has been released. Go on over to iTunes Trailers. They are the featured site for that, but it's all over the Internet. You don't have to go there. You can. It's not going to cost you anything either way to watch the trailer, but the extended sequence, you see more of Loki's army that's attacking. A lot of talk about that. Is it going to be Skrulls? Is it going to be the Kree? Is it going to be Asgardians? Was that the Asgardian serpent, or the Midgard serpent, rather, that they showed? Or was it Fiend Fang Foom? Perhaps. We don't know. We'll see when the movie gets here in May. Not very much longer until then. Big news in comic books, Neil Gaiman, the famed legendary author of The Sandman and many other great works, just took Todd McFarlane, Image Comics, to court over ownership of Spawn, or actually royalties of the character Spawn, then a piece of Spawn literature that Gaiman co-wrote with Todd McFarlane, and there was a new character created. They said it was like medieval Spawn. And so it essentially, Gaiman sued and got a lot of money for a piece of the royalties and ownership off of that character. So that was a pretty big story in terms of Image Comics being hit pretty hard. You know, they're an independent company, so... I know they're doing well because The Walking Dead is like the number one comic consistently in every top 10 sales chart you read, so they can't be hurting that bad. But still, a multi-million-dollar lawsuit cannot be good for an independent comic book company when it's unsuccessful. And so, Image Comics, I think they'll be okay, but that's pretty big. Jonathan Hickman is wrapping up his run on the Fantastic Four, and now I myself have not read any of his run on Fantastic Four yet. It's something that I've kind of kept on the back burner, but we'll be getting to, but it's gotten a lot of praise, and it's been pretty legendary, so he's finally going to be wrapping that up. A lot of fans are going to be disappointed to hear that, but he says he's got a great ending for his saga in the life of Reed Richards, Sue Storm, Johnny Storm, and Ben Grimm. Looks like Johnny Storm is coming back from the dead, too. We talked about that a little last week. The still shots for the Avengers movie have been released. We finally got our first look at Colby Smulders, who plays Robin Scherbatsky on How I Met Your Mother, but then the much different take-charge, badass military general role of Maria Hill. Does look like she's cropped off the hair for the role to give the Maria Hill look like she does in the comic books. So that's pretty cool. That's kind of an unsung character in the Avengers, because if you read the comics, Maria Hill's always in some shit. She's always involved. She's always an integral part of many stories. So, you know, you're advertising Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Iron Man. But, you know, Maria Hill's a little extra character there that also will be pretty effective. That's pretty cool. Five famous philosophers have studied the question, should Batman kill the Joker? And the result is an overwhelming yes. They all think that Batman should break his moral code and kill the Joker for the betterment of society. And, you know, He might just fucking wanna, because obviously he's still haunted by this guy fucking 50 years later in every form of media. But, you know, he wouldn't be Batman. He wouldn't have the resolve that he had if he were to resort to killing people. I think he can make an exception with the Joker. But still, he's a man of principle, and he's not going to break that. And that's really all we have this week, folks. Thanks for joining us. It was a bit of an abbreviated edition of the show because the Rev was not been awake for very long. I got up and had me a cup of coffee and watched some of the DC Nation Saturday morning cartoons with the new Green Lantern and Young Justice, and, you know, got out here and opened my eyes and got to bringing news to you. Here, my loyal and faithful servants on the Midnight Black Mass. Get on out to Rossville, Georgia tonight if you're in the Northeast Georgia area, or Northwest Georgia area, rather, and see Empire Pro Wrestling. That's 22 Austin Avenue, Rossville, Georgia. The Rev will be there with the Rejects in full effect. A Rejects team featuring guys I haven't managed in a long time, guys like Tank. Something we actually came to an agreement here where for this short time we could work together despite our past rumblings. So may not be another chance to see that. Not only that, but Andrew Alexander. We've got the Deadly Sin 7 at Rufus Black on my team taking on Team Empire. And that's Ben Thrasher, Rush, Drew Delight, and the Chunky Dragon. And guys, I hope you are ready to see your brain matter painting the canvas of the ring like a Picasso masterpiece, because that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Midnight Black Mass. We're going to leave you with a little Charlie Daniels Band. This is a song that I live my life by, Long-Haired Country Boy. Have a great weekend, folks.
People say I'm no good, crazy as a loon. 'Cause I get stoned in the morning, I get drunk in the afternoon. Kinda like my old blue-tipped hound, I like to lay around in the shade. And I ain't got no money, but I damn sure got it made. 'Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone. Preacher man talking on the down to rock and roll, wants me to send a donation, 'cause he's worried about my soul. He said Jesus walked on the water, and I know that it's true, but sometimes I think that preacher man, I'd like to do a little walking too. But I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone. college and a poor man goes to work. A drunkard wants another drink of wine and a politician wants to vote. I don't want much of nothing at all, but I will take another toll. But I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.